This program has been brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board, eatwisconsincheese.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from none other than Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, in wafting distance from some of New York's best pizza. Today, we have a super packed episode. I'm really excited. It's sort of like the stuffed crust episode of Pizza Party, if you will. We're switching up the format a little bit today. Sadly, we're going to let our traditional pizza news brief go. Don't worry, I will still be feeding you guys the pizza news on the Instagram and Twitter, so you will not miss your pizza news. But we are really excited to have as an in-studio guest today, Cyrus Summerlin, the co-founder of Push for Pizza, which is a genius app that allows you to push a button and receive pizza. Thanks, Cyrus, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, one, tell us exactly how it works. I have not tested it yet, which is silly, but what's the inner workings of Push for Pizza?
Well, basically our claim is that we're the easiest way to order pizza ever. And basically how we do that is you input your credit card info and your account and your address the first time once, and you select your local place, pick what pizza you want, and then the reorder, if you want the same exact thing delivered to the same place, is just one push of a button.
Wow. And what if you're somewhere else? Does it follow you? Is it geotagged?
Not currently. We are implementing that, so it will be. But if you were somewhere else, you'd have to put in the new address. But a cool perk of that is people have been sending pizza gifts to each other through our app.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's been pretty funny.
That warms my heart to know that that's happening. So how did it come about?
Basically, there are five of us. I'll start off with that. Four of us are from New York. One's from California. And one of the developers, Will, who goes to MIT, came up with the initial concept. And he actually came up with the idea at a New York City hackathon. And the theme was how to make New York better, how to make it a better place, create an app to make it better.
Awesome.
And his idea of what was to make pizza accessible with the push of a button. So he didn't win that competition, but that sprung, you know, a whole other slew of ideas.
He got robbed.
Yeah. He did, exactly. So he reached out to his childhood friend Max, which is my business partner, and saw what we were doing in the fashion space. Thought we could help and really make the idea reality.
That's awesome. And you are obviously a pizza aficionado. Where did that come from in your life? Have you always loved it? What was like the slice that did it for you?
I am a pizza aficionado, I will admit. What did it for me was definitely Totono's in Coney Island.
Okay.
That had a big impact on my life, that place, because it's just so bare bones, no BS, just it is what it is, like it or leave it.
And right.
It's amazing pizza. I will say, though, my favorite slice is from DeFara's in Midwood.
All right. Took the question right out of my mouth. So is it available only on iPhone, across platforms? How do people...
Right now, Push for Pizza is available only on the iPhone, but we are making an Android version as well as a new updated version to make it even easier.
Awesome. So you guys heard it here first. If you haven't yet, just launched in August, Push for Pizza. Check it out, and we definitely will have to have Cyrus and his partners back to see how the pizza gifting is going. But thanks for being with us, Cyrus. Cyrus is going to hang out, but we actually are talking about pizza photography today on the show. I personally think that there's something about pizza that makes it eminently photogenic. Sure, it's potentially greasy, but in my mind, it's tough to make pizza look bad. Maybe it's the simple color palette, the way the ingredients sort of pop on the cheese, the circular to triangular shape interplay, which we have discussed at length on this show before. I don't know if my co-host for today, a dear friend and the co-host of Photo Shelter's I Love Photography podcast, Sarah Jacobs, agrees with me. Sarah, you're my photographer go-to. Do you think pizza's a good photo subject?
It's absolutely photogenic. And Talia, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
I'm honored. So we are co-interviewing today. I called in the troops because where I am obsessed with pizza, Sarah is obsessed with photo. And I always love seeing how photographers interpret pizza. And we have one of my favorites on today, calling into the studio, John Paul Douglas, who is the creator of a series called Pizza in the Wild, as well as Gold Foods. Pizza in the Wild takes really beautiful, circular, usually pepperoni pizzas and puts them in both urban and rural locations. And Gold Foods, spelt with a Z, just so we all know, pretty much exactly what it sounds like, gold painted foods. So thanks for being with us, John Paul.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So Pizza in the Wild, how did you come up with it? And more importantly, how did you explain it? I mean, did I just do it justice when people ask? How do you sort of...
Yeah. I would say you explained it pretty well. It kind of came about naturally. I was living in the Arts District in L.A. at the time, which has lots of graffiti all over the place, and it's constantly changing. And one day I was walking by a particular wall that usually is covered in graffiti, but this day it was kind of like somebody had blanked out or painted white. But then the very first thing that was tagged on the wall was just a pepperoni pizza, like photo, like right in the center. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of, I laughed out loud. I think I was alone, but I walked by and I was just like, man, that's so funny. Like the first person to tag this wall is like the pepperoni pizza smack dab in the middle. So then I thought, man, I should just, you know, I had lots of free time that month, and I was like, I should do this photo series where I just put pizza all throughout L.A., because it's not uncommon that you see just the most random thing in L.A. as you're walking down the street. Like, there's just so much, just items you wouldn't expect just mm-hmm. strewn about. So, I started this pizza thing, but my photography tends to have, like, beautiful compositions and tends to be very clean, so it's like, I use the pizza as the subject, but then I put it in an environment and I try to keep the composition beautiful, but the pizza is still showcased in a way. And like you were saying before, it's hard to take a bad picture of a pizza, and I would agree.
Yeah, I think an interesting part of the series is that it kind of disregards traditional food photography, and it has this great sense of humor about it, and the images aren't trying to make the pizza look appetizing or even edible at times, but... but it's still this view of a glorified pizza, which I love. So are you inspired at all by traditional food photography? Did you study that at all or do regular food photography prior to Pizza in the Wild?
You know, I did a little bit. I actually assisted a guy in the Southeast, and he did a lot of work for Buca di Beppo, which is an Italian food restaurant. Mm-hmm. So I spent many days in the studio, like, photographing lasagna and fettuccine, risotto, you name it, like, all of these Italian foods. That said, I don't think that's had any, you know, but my pizza photos are very different from traditional food photography, like you said, and I'm not lighting these. I'm simply looking for, it's almost like the location is more important. The pizza always looks good, I think.
Yeah.
As long as I have a fresh pizza that's not too old, because I've saved some for a couple days and still photograph it, and I might punch up the brightness a little bit, but it's funny because it'll still look tasty in the photo.
For sure, and I actually would love, I read an interview with you a while back about Pizza in the Wild and sort of your process for the pizza. I mean, because some of them are like perfect discs, they're hard, so I assume you got to let them sit, but sort of what is the process of you between getting the pizza to taking the final shot? How does it work?
Well, usually, and you know, I do them more rarely now because I've done, I think, you know, 80 to 100. And after a while, you're kind of like, what else can I put a pizza on? But in the beginning, when I was doing it, you know, weekly, whenever I had spare time, I would go to Little Caesars because they had the $5. And I didn't know this at the time, but you can get a $5 fresh pizza. I thought it was always the hot and ready, but you can order a special pizza. So I just have them not cut it, and then I say, I'm going to photograph it, so please make it pretty, and they always do, which is very nice.
Oh, that is nice.
So then they give it to me, and then if I have a fresh pizza, I try and, you know, I usually have it in my trunk, and I just ride around, and I try and find some spots really quickly, because the fresh pizza, I feel like, is the best pizza to photograph. That said, if I do, a lot of times I'll just leave it in my trunk, or maybe I'll take it inside and put it in the fridge, and then it does harden and become more like a disc.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like a whole different subject. I can lean it up against things, I can toss it in the air, you know, and it might look a little bit crispy and old, but pizza still tastes good after it's sat overnight, so.
Your car must have the best smell.
Is it just like, you know, at times it does, and it's hard to resist eating the pizza. I mean, I wouldn't say Little Caesars is the best pizza in the land, but no matter, I mean, every pizza is good,
yes,
in my opinion. So
that is the...
when there's hot pizza in my car filling it up, like, it's hard to resist.
Yeah, do you ever eat it after?
Taking a nibble. What's that?
Do you ever eat it after?
I have, actually. Yeah.
I love that.
I have.
You are in the right place.
Some trips aren't as successful as others. So I'll just be like, you know what, I'm going to eat one of these, or at least a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm. So some of the shots seem like they were pretty tough to get. I'm thinking in particular about the pizza donkey saddle, but also some of the ones with the dog that I assume is yours. I don't know. Great dog model in there. And I mean, a lot of them just look technically complicated. So what's the process of shooting like, and what's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you while shooting a pizza in the wild?
The miniature horse that's in there, that was actually pretty easy. My father raises miniature horses, and I was visiting him at the time.
Naturally,
so,
of course. We should have guessed.
Probably the strangest part is explaining to him that I'm going to go outside and put a pizza on his horse's back. But
right.
I think he's come to expect these kind of things now, and now he has a t-shirt of it with it on there, so
wow.
He's happy. And yeah, that's my pug. A very beautiful specimen, and she's easy to photograph, and I just gave her a slice of cold pizza that day, and she, there's no way she could eat it, but she did gnaw on it and it kind of tangled. as crazy stories, I mean, one of the great things about LA is, like, I can do this all day and people don't think twice of it. Like, I was my friend and I were putting, we put like 20 pizzas on like just a Lazy Boy recliner on the sidewalk one day. And so many people walked by, and they didn't even, like, turn their head, you know?
Yeah.
It's Los Angeles. These kind of things happen. You don't worry about it.
So. Yes. And almost more so in New York, because you're not worrying with, like, the pedestrian traffic. I lived in L.A. for a year, and I feel like you have a lot of really just, like, great empty street photos, and I'm just like, you could never get those in New York, because people
right.
walk all over
exactly.
your Lazy Boy full of pizza.
I know. That's something, actually, that I really love about the series, is that there's no sign of human interaction with this pizza, and it kind of creates a feeling that it has a life of its own, kind of that it's its own character running around. What is your intention with that? Is that what you... Do you envision the pizza as its own person, or is it kids throwing pizza around? Or for you, what is it, John?
I mean, originally I was thinking that it was like, that it did have a life of its own, like it was like an animal that I was capturing in the
yes.
in the wilds of LA street. And then the no human interaction thing, I feel like that just kind of like happened. I have a couple where there's people in them,
mm-hmm.
but I think I generally stay away from it just because... I don't know, and I've seen some people, like, imitate the pizza in the wild, which I'm totally fine with, or they'll put it on, like, their head, or, you
right,
know, put it on parts of someone's body, and it doesn't have the same vibe. It kind of, I don't know, the series kind of grew into its own thing as I was doing it. I didn't intend, like, never to have people or what have you, but I feel like with no people, it's almost like this L.A. wasteland, and it has this surreal quality to it.
Right.
Yeah, it definitely does.
That I like.
So you have imitators. Do you take that as a compliment?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, I don't mind at all. The hashtag is, you know, for a while I had a nice, clean pizza in the wild hashtag, but not that many people knew about it, but it was nice where you could click and you could see them all. Now if you click on it, you see, like, dudes' abs and girls in bikinis and, like, just totally weird things.
They're just
so.
Jumping on your hashtag. so do you, I mean, we're going to get into the L.A. pizza thing in the second half, because I don't know if you're aware, but out here in New York, LA gets a pretty bad reputation for pizza. And I defend LA. Again, I lived there for a year, and this is a show where we do not criticize pizza. All pizza is good pizza on this show. So I feel that you're
right.
in the right place. But where do you eat pizza in LA? What do you think of the pizza scene there? Would you defend it as staunchly as I do? Or
I don't know if I would exactly, and I enjoy any pizza, again, and I'm guilty of, like, just doing Domino's just for the convenience and the quickness.
Domino's is
but
great.
If I have a choice, we tend to go to Pizza Nista, which is also in the Arts District,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, it's like, it's a small business, and it's owned by a legendary skateboarder, which I have, like, a skateboard pass, so I have, like, this sort of, like, respect for it and other ways, too, and the pizza's delicious as well, and they have kind of like uncommon toppings. And my fiance is gluten free, and I think they have a gluten free pizza now. I know they were advertising it, so that tends to be where we go. And there's some other places in Silver Lake and that I've been to as well, but nothing that's really blown me away. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest.
Do you ever go to Masa in Echo Park? They do.
Like we have actually
a deep dish that used to be my spot, and Two Boots in a Pinch, which is also around Silver Lake when I lived in LA. So
yeah,
those are my both times I've had
Two Boots. I feel like I don't know. It was super late at night though, so I feel like I probably wasn't even in the right state of mind to really assess the pizza. I need to go back during like a lunchtime.
Right, and be serious about it. Well, John Paul. Yeah. We are going to keep you on the line. We're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a second. You're listening to Pizza Party on Heritage Radio.
You are listening to Spicy Peanuts by Evan Hashi on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This special program was brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to Pizza Party. I'm your host, Talia Ralph, and we're joined in studio today by the lovely Sarah Jacobs, co-host of Photo Shelter's podcast, I Love Photography, as well as a talented photographer. We are talking to John Paul Douglas, the creator of a photo series, Pizza in the Wild and Gold Foods, as well as a photographer of other things, which are wonderful. But today we are focusing on the pizza. Thanks for being with us, John Paul.
Thank you.
So, Jean-Paul, I want to know what camera gear you use to shoot Pizza in the Wild with. Are you using... You're not using your iPhone, are you?
No. I mean, I think there's a couple where I did use my iPhone. Uh-huh. But all times I carry on me, it's a Ricoh GR.
Okay.
Series camera. And I kind of call it a super iPhone because it has sort of the same focal length, like the same... like a 28 millimeter, so it's still wide like an iPhone, but then it has like a large sensor in it, and then it shoots raw, and it also fits in the back of my jean pocket, which is the most important thing.
The Ricoh GR. Yeah. I've never heard of that. I gotta look that up.
I'm gonna look it up too.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. It really is.
Awesome.
So there are a lot of emblematic foods I feel like you could have picked a series, and you do photograph. I mean, you have some great ice cream photos. Especially, but I'm wondering why make pizza the focus of a series? And the follow-up to that, do you have any other food series planned for the future?
Okay, yeah, I mean, I think the thing with pizza, and like I originally stated, like where I saw the graffiti, so in a sense I was inspired by another artist, although a lot of people are like, oh, you copied the Breaking Bad scene, which I loved that scene where the pizza flies on the roof, and assume you guys know what I'm talking about. But
Cyrus does. Both of us are not Breaking Bad watchers, but you have one kindred spirit in the studio.
That's great. Great scene.
It's a great scene. So, I think growing up, you know, when you're young, it's always like a reward thing, a pizza party. It was always like, if you're good, you'll get a pizza party, or if you read all these books, you'll get a Pizza Hut, you know, personal pan pizza. So I think you're just almost like reinforced growing up that the pizza is like this awesome thing where you kind of just have a party and you eat it and it's fun and mm-hmm. Chuck E. Cheese. And, you know, it's always like the ultimate food reward when you're a kid. That or
the choir.
But yeah, so, and then just growing up, but then you get older and you're like, whoa, I don't need to eat this much pizza because now I eat it and, you know, I gain weight and it has lots of calories and that. So you think of like more of the negative side effects of it and you don't eat it as much, but it's still like a reward. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like it becomes more of like a, at least with me and my friends, like it became almost like a joke thing. Like we were obsessed with pizza. So it was like just a humorous thing where we would always pretend to even be more obsessed with it than we were. And we would just always order it. Or on my friend's birthday, sometimes I'll just send them a pizza. They'll just call the delivery service in their town and have a pizza sent to them as like a, it's a nice, but it's also kind of a joke at the same time, but mm-hmm. it's
good
just,
friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you could just then, push for pizza for that. Although, are you guys in LA? Sorry.
Yeah, we're national.
All right. Now that joke is even easier to do, but sorry, John,
right.
You were saying.
It all ties in. Yeah, that's it's a great gift, I feel like. And then for the future, I mean, I did the, randomly one day I was talking to someone, and I think I said, oh, well, I'll get you a golden hot dog trophy for that, or something, and I don't remember the context of the conversation, but then I thought, wow, a golden hot dog, that would be a great visual. So I immediately like ran to the store and got all the ingredients, and then I created this golden hot dog, and then I didn't think anything of it. I just wanted to make it. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, oh, this would be a nice series to do.
What are you using to paint the food, or is that a secret?
It's not a secret. It's just spray paint.
Okay.
It's just,
okay, but
I've
real
used
food.
The same $7 can of gold spray paint. It's almost out, and I think once it's out, I'll be done.
Okay, interesting. Got it. You could do silver or bronze or another. I don't know if it would
be
the same. Are you, like, hardening those foods at all, or are they all just, like, fresh? You pick them up, spray paint them, photograph them?
Yeah, they're pretty fresh. I mean, I'll do some tricks. Like, on the hot dog, it looks like mustard, but it's actually hot glue because that would harden on the hot dog and I could spray paint it as opposed to trying to spray paint mustard and just being a mess.
Yeah.
Yes. That's like, I mean, I was going to ask you this earlier, but it's clearly you don't. But I, for whatever reason, when I first learned about food photography, they tell you like all the gross tricks that they do, like all the non-edible ingredients, like Vaseline on a pizza to make it like extra shiny. And like, you know, that's sort of reminiscent of that. Like, I just remember being so horrified, being like, wait, what? Do you mean that sundae's not real? It's
right.
Sitting on like foam that they use to insulate houses.
It's mashed potatoes.
Yeah, the ice isn't ice, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So you mentioned sort of people jumping on your hashtag, but I think both Sarah and I are wondering how being on Instagram has shaped or changed your photography. I mean, again, in particular with pizza, but it seems like, you know, you're doing this new series now, which looks great, the Halloween series, but how does Instagram sort of influence your approach and the way that you're shooting?
I think, I mean, in the beginning, Instagram, and it's still, I love Instagram. I think it's such a fun platform for, you know, social and sharing work. Mm-hmm. And I do approach it more as like the sharing my artwork. And before pizza, like, I still curated it pretty nicely, I feel like. But then after the pizza series, it's almost like, you know, and then all of a sudden I have this like following and I'm like, man, I can't just like, I have to like think before I post it now. And I feel like I'm locked into this sort of like quirky or more humorous or, you know, pizza-like images, which is fine. Like, I love that. But it's definitely like swayed me into, it's like I look for more tongue-in-cheek kind of things now or something that's not just like pizza, but in the same kind of vein as the pizza photos.
Yeah,
which is cool, and it's fine, but also just, you know, looking for square crops all the time or thinking, mm-hmm. even when I'm shooting, you know, a commercial job or something, it's like I can't get the, like, oh, well, let me get a shot for square just in case, you know?
So. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you feel like that, Sarah? Do you feel like you need to have a specific voice on your Instagram. I'm always thinking about that on Twitter because I'm a writer and a journalist, and my Twitter voice is all over the place. But I often think about, like, what if I get sort of narrowed in? Do you feel like that?
No, I don't, because I only have like 400 followers.
Low pressure.
It's okay.
So, John Paul, this is like a more existential question, if you will, that I like to ask all my guests, because you're all coming from like different parts of the pizza world. But I'm wondering what drew you to pizza, and also why you think pizza has become so emblematic in our culture. And actually, Cyrus, if you have thoughts on this, please chime in. Just sort of what it is about pizza that, one, makes you so obsessed that you're like driving around with it in your trunk, taking photos of it all over LA, and why you think other people have sort of jumped onto it and have this visceral connection to it.
I mean, I feel like, you know how like you kind of see trends happening like in just random places, and it's like almost you'll like just feel, you'll get a feeling about something. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I started to kind of have that about pizza, and like before I did the pizza series, I was like, you know what? I feel like if you look around the internet, people just go crazy for pizza. They like love to be obsessed with it. They love to praise it. They love to be like, yes, the ultimate thing ever, pizza. And I was like, I want to make this series, and it fits into kind of like this LA wasteland, random stuff everywhere, which I would always photograph anyways. Mm-hmm. But you throw a pizza in the mix, and it's like, doesn't matter. Like people are like, yes, this is the best, and then they like it, and then. Sure enough, you know, 3 or 4 months into this series, like it got pretty popular, and it's like I kind of like was like I felt like it could happen because I felt this sort of pizza, underlying pizza thing just happening on the internet and then trends, and then now I feel like it's everywhere, and Beyonce wears, you know, a pizza onesie, and mm-hmm. you see it.
We're talking about that in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's like it's insane.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm happy I tapped into it kind of. I guess at the right time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would argue yes, because I'm trying to tap into it right now as well. So let's hope we both tapped into something.
I just think it's that pizza can do no wrong. You know, that's really it. Because pizza has this weird cult following. It's just, if you don't like pizza, then you're kind of looked at as weird, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't like pizza? What else don't you like? Puppies?
I probably don't want to be friends
rainbows?
With you.
Rainbows? Yeah. For sure. And John Paul, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the visuals of pizza. We had an interesting conversation a few weeks ago with Anthony Falco, who is the head pizza maker at Roberta's, but he's also an artist. And he had some interesting thoughts about it just sort of as like a visual symbolic thing. I'm wondering if you think about it like that, or it's more just it's fitting into to the visual space that you're working in.
Yeah, I mean, and I was asked a similar question this before, and I feel like me liking to photograph it, first of all, like the pizza I photograph, it isn't, you know, it isn't some artisan fancy stuff. It's just Little Caesar's $5 pizza. Mm-hmm. And it's red and it's yellow with some like orangeness going on. And then I feel like red and yellow, like the McDonald's logo, like that's like, that just pops, you know, mm-hmm. wherever you put it in a scene, like your eye's going to gravitate to that red and yellow, but it's also this attractive kind of oval round shape with a bunch of little round circles inside of it. So overall, it's just like, I don't know, it's just nice to look at. And then the colors help a lot. And then the fact that I'm using the same pizza over and over, I think works for my series. And then, you know, people spot it very easily, and then boom, they're happy. Mm-hmm. And then they like it, et cetera.
It's true. It's instant happiness. So is Pizza in the Wild like ongoing? Is it going to end like the old foods, or you're going to keep surprising us with occasional pizzas in the wilds?
Well, I have some that I haven't released yet. And then I actually made one last week, kind of in tandem with this other like video interview thing, because mm-hmm. I'm surprised it's still kind of like getting around and people are discovering it. Cause to me, you know, I've been doing it since I think just at almost a year now. So it's just like, it's kind of old to me, but it's still new to a lot of people. So I think I'm going to still do them when I have time, you know, in different parts of the country, maybe. I'm in Florida now, so it might be good to do some, like, Florida pizzas, which I did a couple months ago, too.
Nice. That would be great, so,
yes.
We'd love to see some pizzas in NYC, too, so come up.
Yeah, come up and get some little.
I'm curious if there's anywhere to get your prints.
Yes, that was my last question. People want to order them. Push for Pizza wants to decorate their office with them. Can people order them, or?
There's a couple of sites. I partnered with this Global Yodel, which they have a couple of pizza prints up. Mainly the pizza pony, I guess is what people call it, which is my favorite one.
I thought it was a donkey. I'm so embarrassed. City kid doesn't know animals.
it kind of has a donkey vibe to it, though. Mm-hmm. Like you're not the first person that said that.
We gotta get your dad.
There's prints there.
Sorry, so but we gotta
people,
get your
Directly contact me too for pizza prints. Which was cool. There's been some like pizza shops who wanted them up in their shop, which I think is a good idea.
Little Caesar should get you. And I was going to say we should get your dad. We have a show called Animal Instinct, and I feel like your dad would be a great guest on it. But
I'll give you his contact. He's an interesting guy.
Perfect. Well, we're actually out of time, John Paul, but thank you so much for being with us and enlightening us to the wonder that is pizza in the wild. We will definitely keep following. And yeah, please don't stop taking pictures of pizza. They're great.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure. I had a lot of fun.
For sure. So we are going to leave you guys now with our slice of the week. It is from a friend and fellow pizza fanatic, Stephen Ho. He is a lover of the grandma slice at Ben's Pizza at McDougal and 4th Street. Why? This is a direct quote. It's always thin and crispy, the perfect amount of cheese, and the tomato sauce is a marinara, so it's thick and chunky with garlic, and you can taste the basil. And the slice is huge. It's true. They cut it in six. It's a giant slice. So we will take it. Thanks, Stephen. This has been another episode of Pizza Party, broadcasting live on Heritage Radio Network from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Thanks to Roberta's for supplying our on-air pizzas for the season. Thanks to my sponsor, the fine musicians of Pizza Party Bass, for our intro song. More from them at SoundCloud.com. My wonderful engineer, Liz, and of course, all of you for listening. Have a wonderful pizza month. We'll be here next week and the week after, because obviously there will be pizza. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.